again. My name is Mark Richardson, and I'm a librarian at the Cedar Mill Community Library. And this is the next in our series of oral history interviews that we have done in honor of Oregon's sesquicentennial. In this interview, you will hear from Helene Simmons, whose parents hailed from Sweden and Norway. I hope you enjoy it.
I was born in Brooklyn, New York in 1931, and my name was actually Elin Helene Söderberg, which is completely Swedish. No one can spell or pronounce these names, so they have all been changed.
You want to tell us a little bit about your family and how they came to the country?
My father was Swedish. My mother was Norwegian, which always makes a little, well, a little bumpy ride sometimes. My father had learned about radio. He had gone to Germany for lessons in radio. At that time of the year, at that time of life, it was very exciting, just like movies and all the new things going on here. So he had a pretty good sense of a way he could make a good living. And he married my mother before I was born, please. And I was born in the Norwegian hospital in Brooklyn, New York. And my father and my mother lived in what I really thought was like a ghetto, but they were little ghettos, can you see, all over. And it was not, everyone was friendly, it was fine, but the word ghetto, where it's just a group of people,
right.
That's what it was. And these people, instead of speaking English, the women particularly at home, they went out around the corner to the store and got something for dinner, and it was just one thing after another. They had people there who sounded like them, people whom they wanted to talk with.
Right.
And my mother, for that reason, was probably not really eager to learn English. She never did quite get it right. But my father was much better because he was out he was out working. But for the most part, he was doing this radio thing. So that was where that was.
Okay. So tell me again what years this was that they came over?
I was born in 1931.
Okay.
And this is a picture of me, 1931.
Okay.
Going on the ship to Kungsholm, because the rest of the family in Sweden, my father's parents, just, oh, we've got to see that baby. My father loved the camera, and he took these little pictures. That's all there was at that time. But I was so cute. Oh, I was so cute. At least that's what they told me. And I got that wonderful hat on, which is Angora or something like that, and I'm stumbling around trying to walk. So that was kind of fun. My parents came, they went to Sweden, and they stayed for, I think, 3, maybe 4 years. Three, I think, is more like it. By that time, my father got a little annoyed with the family, I think, and they decided to come back to the United States. Eventually, they ended up in Hollywood. My father thought that was very cool. And we lived in a western part of the United States for some time.
So he was interested in radio, it sounds like. What sort of things did he do in that area?
I have no idea.
No idea?
I have no idea. I stayed home, and I didn't start school until we came to Burbank, California. Well, actually, yeah, Burbank was when I was 5. And I learned English like that. And the other kids, they had gone to my mother and said, "What language is she talking? Why can't she talk right?" And my mother said then, "You got to learn this." And as young as I was, it was much easier than it would have been for an adult. Much easier.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I don't have a very good Swedish accent.
What were your parents' names again?
My father's name was Gunnar, G-U-N-N-A-R, which is a common Swedish name. And his last name, S O D-E-R-B-E-R-G, Söderberg. It means southern mountain.
Okay.
And my mother, who was the Norwegian, she had a name she really detested. Now, she never used it, so let me see if I can remember it. Ingeborg, I-N-G-E-B-O-R-G. And somewhere along the line, she got a nickname, which was B-O-Y-A, Boya. I don't know what that means, if anything, but she liked it a lot better than Ingeborg. So.
Okay. And do you have any sense of when they first came over, why they came over, or what were they looking for? Or?
My father was kind of touchy with his family. He was, I think he was the youngest, the very youngest. Mm-hmm. And they had quite a bit of money, his family. They had a big factory where clothes were designed and made. And he had a brother who was, he never married. He was a man of very straight face, a man who didn't take orders from anybody. Now, this is after the grandfather died, that he took over this. Mm-hmm. And the whole deal went down. It didn't. He decided, his name was Eric. Uncle Eric Farbror. He liked to go to Paris, and he liked to go to someplace in Italy, and he came back once with perfume for me. So that was, my father kind of got fed up with that.
Okay.
And my mother, her family was very poor because her father, my other grandfather, was killed in a train crash. He was the conductor, my mormor, M-O-R, mother's mother. She just despised being poor. She disliked the religious people who kept coming around, and although there wasn't much food for the kids, they got the food, the religious folks, the hallelujah folks, when they came around. And my mother just decided, I'm leaving. She had only been through eighth grade, she told me. And when she came to New York, she cleaned a house for a lady, a big Jewish lady, as I recall, in a very nice neighborhood. And she and a girlfriend, she came with a girlfriend, the two of them came together. And they enjoyed, but they didn't enjoy. She would tell me something like, oh, it was very exciting because on Sunday, we'd have a can of corn. They hadn't had anything like that in Sweden, but you in Norway. You have to realize that things were different. They had been in the war. The Swedes had not. They hadn't been at all.
So how long were they here in the U.S. before they met?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I have the wedding certificate, which is a handwritten thing by some minister somewhere. I think they just insisted we have to have a minister do this. So I'm not really sure. It was maybe 1930, maybe 1928 okay. or 29. I'm not sure.
So not
I arrived at 31. Yeah. So
you've come to Oregon recently. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about the circumstances of ending up here.
My husband worked for what used to be Santa Fe Railway. He was in the office, and he had the job. He finally had the job he loved the most. He was the guy who got on the train, walked back and forth and back and forth to be sure that everything was okay. Everybody's got a question. Everybody's got a problem. Everybody's got a gripe. And he loved it. He just loved it. But in that area, people smoked. By that time, he had stopped and I had stopped. I smoked for 15 years before I stopped. But he had COPD, which is a lung situation. And he finally found out what it was, but that's what killed him in the long run. It was, mm-hmm. It's a thing that you get from somebody, from his father. He got it from his father. And it was very painful to see him. We had a house in Burbank at one time, And then we moved, we chased the kids. I mentioned that to you before. We chased the kids up to Arcata, which is just north of Humboldt there. It's in Humboldt County. And we had a house built that, oh, it was so nice, so nice. Beautiful view, and we had a spa. Can you imagine a spa? Wow! But the kids left, the two younger ones. The other two had been gone for some time, and I just had a feeling about him, and his nickname was Buzz. I said, Buzz, would you like to move to Oregon? Yes, he said, like that. So we did move. It was easy to sell the house in those days.
Yeah.
And we moved up here in 1996, and I was there for that length of time. My husband died in 1999, mm-hmm. So, and he said at the end, gee, I hope to make 2000. That was sad.
Yeah. Going back to your parents a little bit, mm-hmm. what do you think the biggest challenges for them were being immigrants in this country?
Mm-hmm. Ghettos are usually thought of as dreadful places. You think of Warsaw, horrible, you know, no food, no drink, no water, everybody dying of hunger or bad. But in Brooklyn, New York, there were what you have to think of as ghettos. But they were very nice ghettos because, I mean, the Germans were here, the Swedes were here, the Norwegians were over here, the Italians were down here, and they all had their own little, they didn't go out very much, for the women, certainly. For the men, sometimes they stayed home a lot, too, but if they wanted something, they could merely ask the neighbor next door. They wouldn't have to call somebody, go through a lot of things. So I think that ghettos have a bad name when they really were quite good for these people.
Now you said that you taught some ESL mm-hmm. classes, so I'm yeah. assuming that's...
When we came up here to Beaverton, I desperately needed something to do. And I volunteered for 13 years after that with Beaverton Literacy Project. And there weren't a lot of people, but more than what I realized, because most of the lessons were 2 hours long, 2 days a week, so that wasn't a whole lot. But if we went during the evening, we did also do citizenship preparation. I didn't do that, but yeah, I taught ESL. And it was intended to adults only. Occasionally, you'd have a tall teenager come in, and I never threw them out, that's for sure. The ones who want to learn, who want to study, who desperately want to make money, etc., are mostly Korean, in my part of the woods, anyway. And they are such good students, oh my goodness, but they're mostly adults. People right. in their 40s, 50s even.
Let's jump back again. Mm-hmm. You were young when you went back to Sweden. What can you remember about the differences between Sweden, anything at all, or in the U.S.?
My first visit to Sweden was 3 years, I think, maybe four. Mm-hmm. I have no recollection of that at all. My parents have told me that when we came back, we came to New York, and then we went. We went to Los Angeles and then to Burbank finally and bought a house. And I got a dog too at that time, so that was really neat.
And did you, when you got older, did you go back to Sweden?
I have been back 3 times, I think. My husband and I, before he died, thank God, he got to see all that and he got to meet my relatives who thought he was wonderful, so yeah. That was fine.
So what were the differences when you went back as an adult that you can talk about?
I could see my cousins, lots of cousins, and there were a few aunts and uncles still around, but they were getting kind of long in the tooth, as they say. We had a great time. We really did. We had a great time.
Yeah.
but it's an interesting place with a very interesting background.
Well, you were telling me a little bit, since you have one parent from Norway and one from Sweden, mm-hmm. that there's some cultural differences between those two places.
There definitely is. When Buzz and I went to Sweden, we also went to Norway. And I had never been to Norway before that. My mother never wanted to go back. I told you some horror stories about that. But Norway is very beautiful and very wow.
So that personality about Norway, what about it is different than the Swedes?
Well, if you go back into your history books, I mean way back, you've got the Norwegians, who were the worst of the group to go out and help themselves to just about whatever. I just got through reading a book about the Irish, and they were full of Norwegians and Danish, interestingly enough.
Norwegians.
The Swedes, you know, the French, were sent to Sweden because they didn't have a king. There was no king there. Mm-hmm. So he kind of got things together, and the food is much better. In Norway, the food is dreadful.
Okay.
We went to a restaurant, big mistake, and ordered lasagna in Norway.
So Norway, beautiful, bad
yes.
food.
Well, beautiful
Swedish.
To look at, but dreadful
not,
to
not
taste.
Not beautiful, but better food, okay. So what do you like about living in Oregon?
I love Oregon. I really do. I lived in Southern California for quite a while until I married. And it was hot, and the traffic is ghastly.
So I'm curious, something occurred to me. During World War II, did that have an effect on your family and their worries about their families back in Europe?
I was in school just past kindergarten, as I recall. And I still remember a little girl who was Japanese,
mm-hmm.
when the war broke out. And we were told that they were going to a camp,
right.
whole family. And we cried, all of us. We were little kids. But when we had a going away party for her, and she was so tiny and so shy, and she could hardly speak. Maybe she couldn't speak English, I don't know. But we just felt so sad about it.
Yeah, it's a pretty horrible thing.
Yeah, it was very sad that the situation changed a whole lot later on. I remember being in high school, and the president, or whatever he's called, of the class was a very tall Korean.
Oh. Okay.
Basketball player, definitely.
Huh.
And they voted, kids all voted for him, because they thought he was really great.
That's great.
I agree.
I appreciate you coming in to talk to us.
Well, it was a lot of fun.